This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Will you turn the care of your life and your, what happens to you, could you turn it over to God tonight? I love to bring you the Word of God because I know what it does in our lives. And I was talking to you about fear, and I'm going to go back to talking about some very specific fears. But first, I want to bring you a few more really great foundational scriptures about fear. First of all, 2 Peter 3:14 in the Amplified says, "So, beloved, since you are expecting these things," and he was talking about signs of the end times, "be eager to be found by him at his coming," when Jesus comes back, "without spot or blemish and in peace, in serene confidence, free from fears and agitating passions and moral conflict." When Jesus comes back, he wants to find us free from fear and standing strong in faith. The Bible says in Romans 1:17 that in the gospel, a righteousness which God ascribes or gives to us, imputes to us as a gift, is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed through the way of faith that arouses to more faith. I love that. The more we know who we are in Christ, the more we know how much He loves us and how precious we are to Him. I mean, the more you really believe that. And it takes time. It takes time for that mindset of what's wrong with me, what's wrong with me, to be turned around, to actually feel like it's okay to think there might be a few things right with you. God gives us His righteousness. We have right standing with God, not because we do everything right, but because we have put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And so the more you know and believe that right standing with God is yours, the more it builds your faith. And the more faith builds, the more you understand righteousness. And the more you understand righteousness, the more your faith builds. In Luke 18, verses 1, and then I'll read verse 8. "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not ever give up." Well, that's a good message right there. Don't give up. No matter what you're going through right now, don't give up. "I tell you, he will see that they get justice." God is a God of justice. You know what that means? He makes wrong things right. "And quickly, he will bring justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" So what does God want to see when he comes back? When Jesus comes back to get us and bring us home with him, what does he want to see? He wants us to see us free from fear, and he wants to find us in faith. If you've been letting fear control your life, would you make a decision tonight that you're going to do whatever God wants you to do, even if you do have to do it afraid, and that you are not going to let fear rule your life, steal your life, and keep you from having the joy that Jesus died for you to have? I love these scriptures. They're just so powerful. In Exodus chapter 14, the Israelites were in a real difficult situation. Some of you may be thinking, well, yeah, hello, that's me. They had the Red Sea in front of them. God had brought them out of slavery and bondage in Egypt, given Moses the job of leading them out through the wilderness into the promised land, the land that God had promised to give them, that he said would flow with milk and honey, many good things. And so they had come out of Egypt, and Pharaoh had agreed to let them go, but he was known for changing his mind. And they got to the Red Sea, and that was in front of them, and they looked behind them, and here comes the Egyptian army. Talk about being in a difficult place that looked like there was absolutely no answer. And They wanted to run. See, that's what happens when fear comes to us. The first thing we want to do is run. But here's what Moses said to the people, and he said it because it was what God was putting in his heart. Do not be afraid. Now, he didn't mean don't feel fear. He meant don't run. Stand still or stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. Wow. They'd been dealing with this Egyptian nightmare for some of them all of their lives. And God said, if you stand still and don't run, I will deliver you from this. Boy, that's a word for somebody. If you stand still and you stand firm and you don't run away from the hard place you're in right now, God will bring deliverance to you and you will defeat that enemy and no longer have to deal with it. And then in 2 Chronicles 20:17, Jehoshaphat had been told that there were several enemies coming against him. The Moabites, the Ammonites, the Jebusites. I always say we've all got plenty of our ownites. Might be the grouchy neighborites or the bad bossites or the not enough moneyites, but we've all got our enemies. And they were afraid. That's the first thing that we feel when we have problems is fear. But they did the right thing. They went to God to ask for advice. And here's what God said. Oh, I love this. You will not have to fight this battle. Ooh, somebody ought to be clapping. Matter of fact, you can just bounce up and down on your couch right now. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Or your chair. Maybe you're not on a couch. Maybe you're in a chair. Take your position, stand still, and see the deliverance that the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Well, don't we love that? We don't have to run from things. We can face things and know that God will always be with us. Now, let's go back to some of those fears that we have. We talked about several things already. Now, what about the fear that you're not going to get what you want? You know, maybe that's not a fear that anybody has ever talked to you about, but I think that's a big fear in our life. We want things, and so we ask God for them, and boy, if he's not moving fast enough, pretty soon we come up with a backup plan. Let me ask you a question. Do you have any backup plans just in case God doesn't come through? Come on now. Do you have any backup plans just in case God doesn't come through? You know, here's a good example. God promised Abraham and Sarah that they would have their own child, a child from their own body, and it was impossible. They were both too old to have children. I mean, like way, way past the age when you could have children. And they waited for a period of time, but then they got tired of waiting, and so they came up with their own bright idea. Do you ever get bright ideas when you're waiting on God and it's taking him too long? Do you ever think, I know what I'll do? Oh, you got to be careful of that. So Sarah got the idea that she would give her husband, her handmaiden, Hagar, as a secondary wife. Well, you know, any woman knows you don't give your husband another woman and expect that to work out well. She thought she could have a child through her. Well, it didn't work. I mean, they had the baby, but there was nothing but war between these two women from that time on. And I'm not going to get into the whole story, but the point is that the Bible talks a lot about works of the flesh. And works of the flesh are works that don't work. Now, God wants us to work, but work where you earn a good, honest living, stay busy with your hands, that's different than works of the flesh. Works of the flesh is our energy trying to do God's job. And let me tell you something, when we want something really bad and we get to the point where we're afraid we're not going to get it, we can come up with all kinds of nifty little plans that just keep getting us in deeper and deeper and deeper trouble. James 4, 1 and 2 says that the thing that causes fights and quarrels among us is our desires. We want things and we don't get them. So this says you kill, you hate, you covet, you quarrel, you fight. Then it says you have not because you ask not. So what God wants us to do when we want something or need something is to ask Him for it and then leave it alone. I can't tell you how long it'll take. I can't tell you how God will do it or when He will do it. While you're waiting, if God shows you specifically something to do, then do that, because we are partners with God and He doesn't always just do everything for us. But just to get emotional and start running around doing stuff, trying to make something happen, is one of the worst mistakes that you can make. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Oh, that's so good. Psalm 37, 4. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. The fear of failure. Boy, that's a big one. Well, you know what? To fail at something doesn't make you a failure. Matter of fact, I think everybody fails their way to success. In other words, probably a large majority of what I've learned in life, I've learned from the mistakes I've made or from mistakes I've seen other people make. You know, we can not only learn from our mistakes, but we can learn from other people's mistakes. And when I was young and coming up in ministry, I saw different things that other people in ministry did that I thought, well, that doesn't seem to be right. And then eventually it would get them in big trouble. And so you can learn from your mistakes. Mistakes are not fatal. Failure is not fatal. And failing at something is not final. The only way that you can fail is to give up. Edison said that he invented the light bulb, but it was a 2,000-step journey. He actually said that he tried 2,000 different things before he found the thing that worked. Wow. So many people that have been great, phenomenal successes, if you knew the number of times that they failed. Walt Disney was fired from a job because they said he had no creativity. Imagine that. What if he would have just said, okay, well, I guess what I thought was going to happen was just my imagination. They told me I have no creativity. When are you going to stop listening to what they tell you and start listening to God and what's in your own heart? People told me I couldn't do this. They said, you can't do that. You're a woman. And so when I went to God and said, I can't do that. I'm a woman. He said, I know you're a woman. You can do whatever God tells you to do. Even if you're the first person to ever do it, you can still do it. But everything is not going to go perfectly right from step one. You will have things that you step out in and try to do that won't work. Don't ever be afraid to say, well, I thought that was God. I thought that was what He wanted me to do, but I was obviously wrong. You don't have to have any shame about that. You can just simply learn from it and go on. How about the fear of being hurt? Wow. I think that's a big fear too. How many times do we isolate ourselves or we won't really have intimate friends or intimate relationships? We don't want to be vulnerable. We're afraid if we let a person in too much that we're going to get hurt. Well, especially if you've been hurt a lot by a lot of different people, you can get into this protective mode and build walls around yourself where you can never really have the kind of relationships that you would love to have. I'm going to be honest with you and tell you, if you're going to have relationships with people, you will get hurt. If you're going to get married, you will get hurt. If you're going to have children, there's going to be times when they're going to hurt you. It's part of life. That's why we need Jesus, our healer. You see, being hurt is not really that big of a deal as long as you know how to go to your healer and receive his healing power. Please don't live your life afraid to be involved. You know, a lot of people go to a church and they need workers and they need people to help with this and that and something else and to serve on committees. And how many times do we hear people say, I don't want to get involved? Well, a lot of the reason is because they're afraid they'll be taken advantage of if they get involved. Don't always be afraid of being hurt. Just know that if you get hurt, you'll recover. Praise God. We can always recover. God is a God of restoration. He's a God of redemption. Wherever you're hurting right now, God can heal you in that place. Jesus can heal us everywhere we hurt. Maybe you think, people are going to walk all over me. Nobody will consider me. Everybody will forget about me. Someone will hurt me. People will use me. You know, we fight and struggle to be in control so nobody can ever hurt us. We fight and struggle to be number one so everybody else has to be under us. We want to be first. We want to be ahead. And you know what? It's just hard, hard work. God wants us to cast all of our care on him and let him take care of us. Will you turn the care of your life and what happens to you, could you turn it over to God tonight? Could you let it go? If you want this to help you, if you want this to be an evening that you can say, my life changed on that evening, then make a decision to stop trying to take care of yourself all the time and cast your care on God and just see. God will take better care of you than you ever could take care of yourself. Now, I'm not saying not to do things that you need for your health. And, you know, obviously I want you to take good care of yourself. But I'm talking about taking the worry, that kind of care on yourself. If you want to get into a relationship, a friendship, a relationship, and the enemy says to you, you're going to get hurt, don't let that make your decision. Just say right back, well, even if I do, God will heal me. I want you to have a wonderful, full, exuberant, exciting life. You know, every time you get hurt, don't try to get somebody back. The Lord said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. So if you do get hurt, just forgive right away and then pray for the person who hurt you and let God be the one who deals with them. You don't have to always be trying to take care of yourself. Fear is a dead end, but faith always has a future. Let me say it again. Fear is a dead end, but faith always has a future. Now, how about the fear of trouble, trials, and tribulation? Boy, it's kind of back to those evil forebodings that I talked about earlier. I'm afraid of trouble. You know, the Bible says we're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us in Romans 8. More than conquerors. Well, I think I know what a conqueror is, but what is more than a conqueror? As I was pondering this and meditating on it, talking to the Lord about it, what is more than a conqueror? I felt like what he put on my heart is to be more than a conqueror means that you know that you have the victory before you ever get the problem. Wow. Well, then what does that mean? I don't have to fear trouble. I don't have to fear trials and tribulation. I don't have to fear things that come against me because I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. Because Jesus loves me, I know that he will take care of me. No matter what happens in your life, you're going to come out on top if you keep your eyes on Jesus and trust him with the situation. Great example in Mark chapter 4. Jesus got in the boat with the disciples and he said, let us go to the other side. Well, You better believe when Jesus says something, that's exactly what's going to happen. I always say there's a beginning, there's an end, but there's also the middle. And if you can't make it through the middle, you'll never get to the end. And so many people, they have a good start. It's easy to start. It's exciting to start. Everybody's clapping and cheering, and you're full of zeal and zest. But you know, when you get out in the middle and it's a long time, and your journey is a lot longer than you thought it was going to be and harder than you thought it would be, and all the people have stopped clapping and cheering, that's where you find out what you're made out of. Are you going to keep on keeping on? Are you going to run away in fear? Well, sure enough, they all got in the boat, and a storm of hurricane proportions came up. You know what? I bet that storm wasn't in the forecast, and every storm in your life is not in the forecast either. You know what? I don't know what's going to happen to me tomorrow. I'm expecting it'll be good. But see, how comforting it is to know I expect it to be good, but even if it's not, I know that with God's help, I can deal with it because I am more than a conqueror through Christ. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to enjoy it, but it does mean that I can find a way through Him to let Him help me deal with the problem and still enjoy my life. You know what? You don't have to be miserable just because you've got a problem. It's perfectly okay for you to enjoy your life while you let Jesus work on your problem. I think that might be worth saying again. You don't have to be miserable just because you have a problem. It's perfectly okay for you to go ahead and enjoy your life while God is working on your problem. Well, the disciples got all upset. They were afraid of the storm. And guess what? Jesus was on a cushion sleeping. Sleeping. Come on, do you feel like that God's asleep in your life? Like, wake up, God. I got a problem here. Well, they did wake Jesus up, and He got up and He calmed the storm. But He also rebuked them for their lack of faith. And then you know what happened next? I love this. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, and they arrived on the other side. I can see this soul situation, and it's played out so many times in my own life. Okay, Joyce, I'm going to get in the boat with you, and we're going to do this. This is where we're going to end up. And then all of a sudden, one storm after another, after another, after another. But any time that I've stuck with God and continued to believe, guess what? We always made it over to the other side. And I think a lot of you, you're not very far from the other side. So don't throw it all away now. Keep believing. When Jesus comes back, who is He going to find in faith? And who is He going to find free from fear and agitating passions? You. I think tonight is a really important night for you. I think that God's got some amazing things for some of you. And this is a great encouragement for you to hold steady, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. God is on your side. You're more than a conqueror. There's plenty of power for you to do whatever it is that you need to do. You know, we're living in times of trials and tribulations. Jesus said that in John 16:33, in the world you will have tribulation. It's a promise. But He said, cheer up. I have overcome the world. In other words, what's He saying? You're going to have problems, but I've already taken care of them. It's already been dealt with. Just put your trust in Me and cheer up. Enjoy your life. 1 Chronicles 16:9, Paul said, a wide door of opportunity opened unto him, and with it many adversaries. You better believe when an opportunity comes your way to go forward in anything, the enemy is going to come in and bring a storm to try to derail you and get you to believe you never heard from God to start with. But I'm here to tell you tonight, blessings are coming your way. Something good is going to happen to you. You are going to make it to the other side, and you are more than a conqueror. And don't you ever let the enemy steal that from you. In Isaiah 41, he said, "Do not fear, for I am with you." And you know, that's really a great place to end this message. You don't have to be afraid. Why? Because God is with you. Well, what's he going to do? I don't know, but it'll be the right thing. Well, when's he going to do it? I don't know that either, but it will be the exact right time. I want you to relax. Know that God loves you more than you could ever possibly imagine, and that he does have a good plan for your life, and don't you let the devil steal it from you through fear. I'm going to pray for you. Father, I pray for all the people watching, all these precious people that have joined us. And I pray that they will have a better understanding on fear and that they will not let fear rule their lives. That even though they may feel afraid, that they will know they can still do whatever they need to do through Christ, who is their strength. And I pray that they've been encouraged and lifted up, that they feel a new strength, a new refreshing. And I pray that they would soon and very soon see good things happening in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Fear is everywhere and affects everyone, including me. But with God's help, I've learned how to move forward in the presence of fear and do it afraid. I wrote this book because I want you to experience the peace that Jesus died to give you. In these pages, you'll learn how to understand and confront fear and change your mindset for lasting freedom. If you open your heart to God, he'll help you embrace courage in the face of fear.
Today, we're offering Joyce's book, Do It Afraid. And when you order, you'll also receive the companion study guide. Prepare to conquer your fear while going deeper into Do It Afraid, as this study guide will help you embrace Scripture and reflect on the lessons each chapter holds. Discover the freedom that's found in God's Word and begin courageously confronting fear today. The Do It Afraid book and study guide is available for your gift of $30 or more. Contact us now. Visit online at joycemeyer.org or call 1-800-727-9673.
So the Bible is God's manual to help us navigate life. But life often gets in the way of knowing the Bible, finding the time, knowing where to begin, and discovering what this all means to you. We understand, and we'd like to help. At joycemeyer.org/word, you'll find free resources to help you get more out of the Bible, whether you're a new Christian or have been walking with Christ for years. So jump in today. The Word. It's free, it's mobile, and it's tailored for you at joycemeyer.org.
We all want this, but we think it comes from these. So what if we could find this in the midst of these? It's possible, and Joyce Meyer wants to help you gain a new perspective in Philippians, a biblical study. Learn how a change in focus can lead to greater confidence and deeper faith in God. Practical, in-depth, easy to understand. Philippians, a biblical study. New from Joyce Meyer.
For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.